Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new review on the Sam Bassell podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now I'm going to be doing a review for the brand new installment in the Fast and Furious franchise, Fast 10, which stars Vin Diesel, Michelle Rodriguez, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Jordana Brewster, and newcomers such as Jason Momoa, Brie Larson, Sung Kang, Helen Mirren, and Rita Moreno. And of course, is directed by Louis Leterrier.
Dominic Toretto, you're about to learn all about fear. Boom! You built such a beautiful life, filled with love and family.
I never got a chance.
You stole that from me. My future. My family. And now, I'm gonna break yours. Piece by piece.
So I'm somebody who has always been a big supporter of the Fast and Furious franchise, specifically when it came to Fast 5, which is really where the franchise kind of became what we know it is today, which is this kind of globe-trotting, action-packed, insanity stunt-like franchise, really, with these characters that we all know and love, like Dom and Mia and Brian and all these other characters that we've come to know and love really, really well throughout this franchise. And so I really enjoyed what they have done throughout the years, but over the last couple of films, specifically the last one with F9, I think they kind of went a little bit overboard somehow with some of the kind of action sequences and story points that I think they were really trying to go for. So I think with Fast X or Fast 10, or whichever way you want to pronounce it, I think this film had a job of kind of somehow, some way, kind of coming back to what makes this franchise work and what it has made it a huge surprise success for Universal, which is about the family members, action, cars, of course, and just kind of delivering on that fun summer action that we know this franchise can deliver upon. So that was really what I was kind of looking forward to and looking for in this film. And of course, there was some behind the scenes action where they switched directors 1 week into production, where went from Justin Lin to Louis Leterrier, who has done a bunch of blockbusters in the past. He was actually the person who directed technically the second installment in the Marvel Cinematic Universe alongside of Iron Man back in 2008 with the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. And then he also a few years later directed another, I think, kind of underrated fun film. Nothing great or spectacular, but had a great cast of Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, and that was the kind of magician action globetrotting film Now You See Me. So he's known how to handle big casts, big names, big action sequences, and big franchises before. And so when Justin Lin left, which was a shame because I think he is, if you talk about main architects of the Fast and Furious franchise, he's somebody who knows this franchise like the back of anyone's hand, probably other than Vin Diesel. So when he left, it was kind of a big conversation of who could take over this franchise. And when you see Louis Leterrier's resume, it makes sense that he could be somebody who's capable of taking this over. So a big question comes in of how is he going to kind of transition from one director to the next. And so I think there were some big questions kind of going into this film overall. And I think after coming out of it and seeing this movie, overall, I think it was a nice improvement over the last film. Although I wouldn't say it's in the top tier of Fast and Furious films, I still think I register that for Fast 5, Fast 6, and Furious 7. Those to me are the top three no matter what. But I think when you kind of rank these films, I think this would probably fall somewhere in the middle. I think it did exactly, again, everything that I wanted it to kind of go back to, which was kind of more grounded, earth-based action, more kind of car action, car races, which I think we get some really good ones in this film, and kind of better character interactions within the family members. And so I think there were some really interesting dynamics that we really kind of followed along within this film overall. Specifically, you get John Cena's character who plays Dom's brother Jacob back in this film, and he plays a completely different character really than what we saw in F9, but I somehow liked the storyline that he was in with this film, where it was kind of dealing with him and Dom's son, and kind of the interaction that they have I thought was a really big highlight. But kind of going into the rest of the characters, and as great as it was to see all the family members, the one big highlight, and it's kind of been the constant when you read a lot of the reviews. The one big standout within the cast is Jason Momoa as the villain in this one, Dante. And he's basically playing somebody from the Fast family's past who is out to basically exact revenge on the family for something that happened during the events of Fast and Furious 5. So it kind of brings everything back to full circle a little bit to really what kind of made the franchise really kind of pop out into the mainstream with the success of Fast 5. So I think it was a nice tie-in to have that. But for Momoa, even though his character is never mentioned in any of the other films, and they kind of do what they did with John Cena's character in last film, where they kind of just place him in there, it made sense actually how they put in Dante's character a little bit. And I like how they were able to kind of explain how, where he's been, what he's been able to do. And it worked also because Jason Momoa just understands the assignment with this film, and I think overall with this franchise. And kind of one thing that was I was very curious about, especially after watching the film, was I think early on in the film you can see where they were going to take the Dante character, but then I think you see a staple of Louis Leterrier and his directing style and what he wanted to do with these characters, and they take Dante in a different direction. He becomes this big, flamboyant, stylish kind of character, and it works. And a lot of it has to do with the charisma that Jason Momoa brings, and it's also the fact that he's completely psychotic. And I think when you are continuing this franchise right now, and the fact that Fast 10 is really kind of the first part of a two-parter, three-parter, however many films they actually do within this story, you need a formidable villain to take alongside these heroes. And I think finally, the Fast and Furious franchise has a villain worthy of this family going up against these guys over multiple films. And as much as I love Charlize Theron and her villain, she hasn't really been able to do that much, although she does get some time to shine in this one in terms of an action sense. She really gets to flex her muscles within this one a little bit and have some really cool sequences. But I think Momoa, hands down, is probably the best utilization of a villain so far. And it was actually the way that they utilize Momoa, even though I'm somebody who loves and really, really enjoys Furious 7, and I love Jason Statham's character as Shaw, but I felt like they really underutilized him in that movie. The way that they utilize Momoa's Dante is not to the stylistic sense or the over-the-topness as Momoa does it, but that kind of character-driven story is what I was hoping Furious 7 would have done with his character a little bit, instead of kind of having him big in the first half of the film and then kind of pushing him to the sidelines in the second. Momoa is not pushed off to the sidelines in this one. He's very much front and center, and he just delivers. And again, if you really want to go for a highlight in this film, he's really one to go see, because he overextends it, overperforms it, but it toes the line of being something where you're just annoyed by it. You're looking forward to seeing him again when he's on screen, and he understands the role that he's playing, and I'm excited to see more of him in these films, in this storyline as well. Again, going back to the action, it was another great action set pieces in this one. I think that Rome sequence that you see in the trailers, you only really somehow get snippets of it, and how it plays out in its entirety is just thrilling and amazing. You're hooked in from the very beginning. I think the car races in this one are utilized in a way that haven't been utilized before, and there's kind of stakes involved with them, and specifically with Dom Toretto's character that I really enjoyed a little bit, and it kind of plays a psychological game a bit, which I thought was really cool. And then something else that is a staple in Fast and Furious, and Louis Leterrier and the production team behind it continue to do again with this one, is the locations of this film. Going back to Rio, to Rome, to Budapest, Portugal, we're going to all these amazing places. And I think if there's one thing that Fast and Furious continues to do well, is continue to explore not just one area of the world, but multiple different areas, whether it's going to Tokyo or going to LA or New York or Antarctica and all these different places. I think they utilize it very, very well once again in this film. And again, for somebody who was a big fan of Fast 5, I thought it was really cool to go back to Rio de Janeiro a little bit and see all those glimmerings again. We don't really kind of go into the city as you did in Fast 5, but just to kind of go back there, I think was a nice little throwback location that they were able to do. And then going to the direction again, I think Louis Leterrier did an admirable job of coming in for Justin Lin, who exited again a week after going into production. And I think he did a nice job of seamlessly transitioning from everything that was already working for this film, then still adding his own panache to the film here and there. And if you read reviews and you watch the film, you could definitely see where Louis Leterrier puts his mark on certain things. And I can understand for him, now that he's going to be directing Fast 11, that he's excited to really kind of have his hands seeped into this franchise now and really allow himself in the pre-production phase to really give way to his ideas and what he wants to do and add his own flair that he was able to sprinkle throughout Fast 10, but now with the full pre-production slate on your hands, really kind of dive into this and do what you want to do. But I think he did an admirable job. I think that the action sequences, the character interactions were really good, and he did a really good job of kind of stepping in and kind of bringing this to the finish line. Now, those were a lot of the positives that I had with the film, but there are some things that I did think were a little off with this film. And again, is a reason for why I think it's in the middle of the pack. So, of course, the action, the characters, all that were really cool. But I felt like even though all those elements were working, one of the things that has been kind of going on with the Fast and Furious franchise is that, and a lot of franchises overall, and I'm somebody who loves long run times. I always say to people, I think of it as a challenge. I always accept it no matter what. And I'll judge for myself whether I think a film's too long, too short, could have been more in the middle. And for this film, I felt like by the time I was getting to like the third act out of the second, I felt like that is where you could have started to kind of wrap it up a little bit, and I felt like they were overextending themselves a little more than they really needed to. What could have felt like the ending of the film added on another probably 20 or so minutes, which you probably could have trimmed it down a little bit from there and make it a little bit more of a tight, concise film that I think people would have enjoyed a lot more. It's just that it feels a little bit overbloated sometimes, and I just think it needed a little bit more focus around there. And I think with this movie, what they're really trying to do with this film is make it that kind of setup film for what's to come in, again, a potential final film or a part two to a part three, and how they want to tell this entire story really that wraps up the franchise. This very much felt like Infinity War a little bit of the Fast and Furious universe, where you have this big villain that's affecting everybody and every single one of these characters in the universe, and you're trying to go to all these different places. And I felt like in some of the places that they were going to, I wanted to stay in those places a little bit more instead of going to this other place with these other characters that I didn't feel like we really needed to go to. And I wouldn't have minded watching them in this film for the rest of it. I didn't feel like their storylines needed to be told. I felt like you really had a certain number of characters that were really focused on in this film. It was Dom, it was Dante. You could throw Letty in there. You could probably throw John Cena's character a little bit and what he does in there. Those were kind of the storylines that I really wanted to continue to focus on. I just felt like we were going in other places that it wasn't necessary. And again, talking about trimming it down a little bit, I think those were some areas where you could have maybe had more family interactions with some of these characters and have them in those places instead of kind of in their own storyline that I just didn't feel like really kind of worked. So I feel like those areas, I think they could improve upon, and hopefully by the next film, it's kind of more concise and delivers in that fashion of everyone's kind of together in the sense instead of kind of just being scattered all over the place a little bit. So those are kind of some of the issues that I had overall, but I think if anything, what this part does for me with this film is it gave me a fun, enjoyable ride, but also I think sets up some really cool, exciting things to come in the next part. And not to kind of spoil anything, but this does kind of leave a cliffhanger for what's to come. And usually sometimes with these cliffhangers, you're either on board or you're not. And very much by the end of this film, I wanted to see what happens next. So even though I had some issues with the film overall and it wasn't as good as it could have been, it still gave me enough where I'm excited to see where these characters go, where the story goes. They gave a formidable villain and Jason Momoa, and I'm excited to see how that journey continues in the next film or two films to come down the pipeline. And there are some cool surprises that come, some that you might have heard of, some that might be actually surprising when you see it in theaters. And I think this is a franchise that still appeals to people internationally and I think across the world, and I think that's why you see these films as a success. It's an unprecedented franchise, and I think it's just able to appeal to a bunch of people. So for me, this is one that appealed to me again. It was a big step up from Fast 9, and I'm hoping the 11th installment is able to continue that trend as we move forward with this story. So my overall letter grade for Fast 10 would be a B. I enjoyed this film, had some issues with it, but still a fun ride nonetheless that I would definitely recommend to people who love this franchise. If you're looking for just a fun, entertaining action film, I think you'll get a semblance of that in this film. A little too long, could have been cut down, but still, I think an enjoyable film that is in the middle of the pack for me when it comes to kind of ranking the overall Fast and Furious franchise. So what did you guys think about the Fast and Furious film, Fast 10, or again, Fast X, if you want to call it that? Either way, I think people are kind of going of having to call this film, but overall, the 10th installment in the Fast and Furious franchise, what did you guys think about it? Let me know down below and leave your thoughts in the comment section of this podcast. But that will do it for this review on the Sam Bissell podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in onto this review. Be sure to check out the other amazing things that I have on my channel. If you want to check out more content, you can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in onto the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, and be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source to see what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, giving you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also, along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Attic Radio, Fretzelmania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at Real Ambiguous. And if you want to check out Canopy Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. Find me on Twitter at Bissell Samuel. That's BUSSELLSAMUEL. And also on Facebook at Sam Bissell. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this review. And until next time, keep on screening.
Here they come.
You will never be able to break my family.
Sunshine.
You gotta be kidding me.